Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. It's been 5 seasons of television, 4 different after shows, 3 years of waiting. The Defenders is here. We're going to break it down. Episodes 1 and 2 today on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that theme. Welcome back, guys, to AfterBuzz TV, or welcome the first time, however many times you've joined us. We're here to talk about the Defenders on the Defenders AfterBuzz TV After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. I couldn't be more excited to be breaking this down today. I'm so excited.
It's been a long time.
So excited.
Yeah. And we have assembled... Oh, wait, that's a different team. We've gotten a group of people together... from all corners of the city. We're in LA, I don't know. Yeah. Either way, yeah. I have a great team here to break down the Defenders with me. I'm going to introduce them to you off top, and then we're going to get into episodes 1 and 2, the H word, and I forgot to write down the episode title of episode 2. Amy.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV. It's hard to recognize me if you've seen me here before, but I'm dressed as Jessica Jones. So it's me, guys.
She dresses Jessica Jones. I decided to do my, for the first episode, I'm dressed as homeless Iron Fist.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
If you watch the BHL Iron Fist show, you recognize this outfit. Where I was running around the studios barefoot. That's not a joke.
I need to find that.
Yeah.
I'm going to
have to catch up on that.
Nate Miller is joining us.
What's going on, everybody? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate.
And I am Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
All right, guys, we're going to jump in. Yeah, I decided to go Iron Fist for the first episode because we started with Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Before we dive in, just to get to know you guys a little better, do you have like a favorite Marvel character, whether it's from the Netflix shows, any of the movies, someone, who's your favorite person?
See, this is
pick
such,
your babies.
It's so hard.
Such a loaded very question. Tough. It depends on the day, maybe, and what you've just seen. Because right now, I'm like, I'm feeling Jessica, but Peter Parker has always had a special part in my heart. So I don't know. That is a very tough question. That is a great question, though. But maybe a mixture of both of them today,
right
now, the second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is one of the worst questions that you can ask a person. But I mean, I hate to sound so cliche, but it's got to be Wolverine. Is my you know, I'm an ex baby, so
there you go.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
definitely Wolverine.
I'm with you, but I'm Jessica Jones all the way. I love me
Jessica Jones.
I love
is wonderful.
Me a female badass. I'm sorry, I have to. She has like. As much of a soft spot in my heart that you can have for such a badass that's got such snarky remarks. I just love her.
She's fantastic.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Jay Snowden in the chat says, obviously Daredevil.
Okay.
For me, like, if any of you have watched Marvel movie news, you know, you've heard me yell this enough times. I'm a big Ant-Man and the Wasp fan. Like, OG Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like, went back in, like, in the original iterations, like, I'm a big fan of like what they did as a as a team, Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne. But in terms of Netflix and like TV lore, I think Jessica Jones was my favorite show. It's the one that like I love Daredevil. I love like what Matt Murdock has done, but Jessica Jones is just like there's something special about that show. The chat's got all their opinions. There's at least one Wolverine in there. Ooh. Somebody says Jean Grey. Portia with Ant-Man. Nice. Okay. Respect.
Spider-Man.
All right, let's dive into the Defenders, because we've got to, like, these first two episodes were almost like a tease.
Yeah.
It's like, look at all these people, look at them getting together. We're not going to get them together quite yet until the end of episode 2, but catching up with everyone felt great. What did you guys think about, especially in episode 1, just like these... episode 1 was sort of like a, hey, here's where everybody is.
Yeah.
It felt like almost like when you get a crossover series in comic books, you often get a lot of like little tie-ins in the main series that like leads up to it, and it, that's what these episodes felt like. Because even like Candace and I were talking about, the color palettes are very different for each character, but also even just the way that they're shot. I really feel like they took the same production teams for the shows, at least for the first episode. I'm not sure about the second, where when you see the vignettes for each character, they're all shot very differently, they're all colored very differently, they got different music, they all feel like they're from the series individually.
You got very the sense, you got the sense that they like the showrunners here very much went in and were like, okay, so people that made Luke Cage, what makes Luke Cage feel like Luke Cage? It's the yellow tone to how everything is shot. It's the hip hop music in the background. The very much like 70s feel, like when he's coming back into the city, those quick shots of the buildings, it all feels very specific to that series.
Watching the camera angles, like especially, like, it reminded me of how good visually Daredevil was, because the way they pull all these different angles of all the Daredevil scenes is, like, so impressive.
My favorite shot with him was actually the shot that it started crooked, and then they end up flipping it upside down with the ambulance coming down the street, and then end up shooting onto him. It was the most beautiful shot. I, like, just stopped and had to revel in that shot. But what I liked about it a lot, too, with the first episode is that you have to keep in mind Marvel is such, like, an iconic, like, group of people that follow all of these characters, but you also have a lot of people that are coming in that are new to Marvel because of Netflix introducing them. And I think that you're pulling, they did a great job of pulling also from, if you were a Jessica Jones fan, you remembered the show, you felt it. And if you were, you know, a Daredevil or whatever show you brought you into the Defenders, I think they did a great job also accommodating to all of those people as well.
Well, and also with the coloring, you know, color correction, we talked about this, it's just beautiful. You could tell who was going to be on the scene next just based off of the color, which is so cool because you don't think about that. And, you know, watching Jessica Jones just all the way, or Luke Cage, you know that it's going to be Luke Cage the entire time. So it was a little bit of a surprise along the way. But I'm also thinking, like, great job, editors, because it's one thing to color correct everything, just one color, but to have to intercut in a way.
To have four different temperature balances that you have to keep consistent. Yeah.
But and it works and it doesn't feel jarring to the eye at all.
No. Yeah, it's a credit to the cinematographer for the series, that, which I think was headed up by Lloyd, I'm sorry. But these first two episodes were also directed by S.J. Clark, who directed episodes of Jessica Jones. So, like, there's very much, like, they're keeping this to the family. The showrunners were from Daredevil Season 2. This is all, like, they're getting the pieces together, not just the actors. Like, it's the people that did all of these series before. It's the same director of photography as Daredevil, season one.
If I can, I would also like to point out the transitions between the characters. I thought were really creative in the way that they did it. Like, the one that stood out for me most was Luke Cage, where, like, they would show, like, a subway train come through or subway sounds.
That's Anthony, our engineer.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Anthony.
There's so much that's great about this, the way they brought them all together. Yeah. But let's get into the stories that as they brought them in, because let's start with Iron Fist, because that's who opened up the series. It's nice to see that he's improved his fighting ability. Sorry, throwing a little shade there, but it's earned. Anyway, moving on. What do you guys think about choosing this as the introduction? This, like, guy fighting, as we come to find out, Elektra in the sewers.
It was all right.
Is that what was happening? Elektra was fighting the guy, and then they got there?
I wasn't sure.
It was her the whole time?
No, I thought Elektra came, like, later, and it was his friend that was fighting the guy that ended up getting stabbed. Yeah, I thought it was Colleen fighting.
I thought it was Elektra.
That makes more sense to me. That makes more sense to me.
Because it's all in shadow. Yeah. But yeah, it's when I went back and rewatched it, it's...
That makes a lot more sense.
It didn't connect with me the first time. I was just like, who's this mysterious figure? And then as soon as they revealed Elektra, of course it would be. Of course that was Elektra. Yeah. Or Black Sky, I guess. I don't know if we can even call her Elektra anymore.
Yeah. The thing about... I mean, there's been a lot of feedback about how they all were put together. So how the Defenders... you know, at the end of episode two, they finally start meeting each other. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good that we're starting off slowly and getting them there, because you don't want to rush it. So I feel like starting off with Iron Fist, who, I mean, he's awesome, but he's not my favorite. I mean, hi, Jessica Jones. but it's good to start off like that. You don't want to hit the ground running right away, and you want to get us warmed up to seeing mm-hmm. everyone again. And I think yeah. Iron Fist is a good way to do so.
Yeah, I mean, look, Iron Fist, like, no one's going to be shy or in the wrong mind. They have a lot of heavy lifting to get people back on his side after the series, which was flawed in several ways. I'm not going to get into that here. but it's just, it wasn't what people were expecting to see. And so mm-hmm. they have to, like, kind of re-engineer. But, like, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far, especially when they start to get more into with him and Colleen. I think it's also good that they put he and Colleen have stuck together.
Yeah, definitely.
We're not separating them. Because mm-hmm. Their dynamic is fun. Because, like, I could watch her do anything, really. She was the highlight of that show.
Yeah.
But them coming back into, like, I like that they had to travel around the world. And they're like, you have to go home, Iron Fist. All the world's problems are in New York. It's like, that's the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
That's Marvel Universe.
Pretty much.
Everything wrong with the world is in New York.
Aliens coming to Earth? Where do they land?
New York. At least they're not coming to LA, guys.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, we're relatively safe.
We're fairly safe over here.
We just got the earthquakes and stuff.
yeah.
Oh, yeah. The earthquake at the end. I mean, I just wanted them to call up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I'm like, we have a person for earthquakes, but but that's a whole universe crossing problem. But I like that we. So anyway, with Iron Fist, let's. We all want to talk about it. Let's talk about Jessica.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you, Danny Rand. Whatever.
All right, wait. The jacket has to come off. Sorry. So
Jessica's getting hot over here.
Jessica's getting hot. I'm still wearing the gray scarf, which is actually a T-shirt, and then the white shirt. Thank you, Jessica, for the inspiration. Okay.
But I think it's the perfect way to pick up on her, like the fact that she took the success at the end of Jessica Jones season one to not be. It wasn't a full success to her.
Right.
It was a failure but it doesn't make her feel any better.
No.
And I think that's very real and very true to her character. What did you guys think of her and then her interplay with Trish?
I love that dynamic between the two of them. They're great. It's like the yin and the yang, I think. And I think Jessica does need to have Trish there, because if not, I mean, Jessica would just kind of stay in the room and just kind of drink herself into a stupor, which is what she's doing at the very beginning. I don't know. I love their dynamic and the level-headedness of Trish that kind of counteracts and, you know, pushes Jessica in the direction that she always needs to. And then she takes it off on her own. Jessica does take off on her own that point. I think Trish just needs to kind of...
Well, Trish shouldn't be... what's the word? Well, Trish is really strong. Like, she shouldn't... There is a word for that? I'm trying to figure out what the word is. No, that people don't consider her to be super amazing. Not underrated. But sure, underrated. Like, she's not under...
Underappreciated?
Underappreciated!
There we go!
Ding, ding, ding! Thank you. Because she's amazing and she's there. I mean, she's fought alongside Jessica. She's not... I don't know. She's awesome.
She's not weak.
She's not weak. Mm-mm. And I love the first thing that we saw them in with the car getting towed and then Jessica pulls it up. I'm like, God, don't we all just need Jessica around at all times?
Yeah, save me a lot of money.
Just break the law.
Yeah. as long as we don't have
intimidate,
to do it.
Intimidate government officials.
I guess people know who she is now. That's the interesting thing is that her name is out there. So they may even see her and be like, oh, it's a super person. We're not going to... I don't want to mess with that.
Probably.
And look, Trish hasn't gone to hell yet, so she doesn't have any powers. We'll get there.
Spoilers.
I'm personally very much excited to see Hellcat.
Oh, yeah. I think that's coming
eventually on TV.
Woo, Trish.
Someday. But I think what Jessica goes through in these episodes... it tracks so well for her as a person. Let's just go through the entire her arc in these two episodes, right up until she meets Matt Murdock.
Which I loved
because
that.
It's her taking a case. It could have been the first season of Jessica Jones season two easily. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It all connects.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to take a case. One falls in her lap, and it's like, I don't want to. You shouldn't take this case. All right, I'll do it.
Yeah. Tell her she can't do something, and she will do it.
As most of us maybe can relate to.
Yes.
Did anyone else think... I know it wasn't, obviously, by episode two we know this, but did anyone else think it was Trish on the line?
No.
I thought maybe it was... Like the wife or something, and she was trying to reverse psychology her. I was like, damn, that's pretty clever.
I thought it was Trish being like, take the case, because she knew that that's what would push her.
But how would she know about the case?
Because Trish knows all.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
A little wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got us going as she searches for John Raymond.
It kind of felt like that, though. Like, we know that the character is not going to want to do this, but we need her to do this so that we can get her to join up with the rest of the characters. Let's just have this guy call her and tell her not to. Because it's like, why is he, as we find out later, involved in some way in that situation he's in? Why is he calling Jessica Jones to say, don't follow me or don't investigate me?
He obviously hasn't done his research.
Yeah, it just seems really...
too opportune.
Deus ex.
Oh, you thought it was it was a little forced?
Yeah, in my opinion. It especially with it not being Trish or like a character that we know knows about that situation, or it doesn't stand only to lose by...
I think it tracks because it's him trying to protect his family, and he like knows that his family went to her and like sees her, and she does still.
Involved. Okay,
she does still have the alias sign in her window.
Yeah.
So, I think he just like he saw them go, and he's like, don't follow me. He's that far ahead, and he seems like he's a smart guy.
He does.
He's just like he's gotten wrapped up. So he's an architect. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining that they needed an architect to figure out how they were digging into the mega tunnel from Daredevil season two. Mm-hmm.
Or he built them something.
Yeah. Or
to help them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
I mean. He gets his hands on explosives. He's working for the hand in some way. It's just a question of how.
Right.
And that's when, so Jessica starts digging, and she starts going into the files and the archives. It all just felt like Jessica Jones.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
I went in and did my own PI work, though, and I looked through all of the... names of the companies that she was pulling up. There's only one Easter egg in them that I could figure out. But it's the twin. It starts with Twin Oaks Shipping in 1998, and then it goes back to Sherwin Holdings in like the 40s, and then Wu Tend Enterprises in like the 20s, then Fulsha Industries. But the one that stood out was the second to last one before, like, because when it was handwritten, I couldn't make out what the answers were. But Yoshioka. Was the last company. And that's Nobu's last name.
Dun, dun, dun.
From Daredevil. So somehow, so it all connects back to Nobu and the hand via that. And it's a small little thing, and like it's like, oh my god, they're involved with Nobu? It's not shocking.
No.
But that he might be even more immortal than we know.
Yeah, that might give us some more insight.
Or that at least his family has been involved this long.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought it was a really cool little like hidden piece in there. What did you guys think of Hogarth showing up at Jessica's doorstep?
I missed her, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just kind of random for me, to be honest with you. Like, I know they have to reintroduce her, but it was just like she randomly shows up. I know she's keeping tabs on Jessica, but it was kind of like, oh yeah, she's back. It wasn't anything exciting or I don't know.
It was a little weird.
Yeah.
I think the question becomes, why was she there? And I'll pose it to you guys in the chat. Like, why was she there if, like, is Hogarth is like, is her company basically trying to keep tabs on, like, like, we want all the superhero representation in our firm?
I mean, she'd be smart to do that.
Because they're already represent, because they're connected to Jessica Jones. Foggy, on behalf of them, is representing Luke Cage. They have Danny Rand as well. The only one, and they don't know who Matt Murdock is. Other, they know who him as a lawyer. They don't know that he's Daredevil.
Right. Okay. I was getting ready to say, wait a second.
they don't know who he really is.
Right.
What that makes me question, seeing Hogarth, is like, what are her intentions, and like, pretty much what does she have at stake if Jessica keeps digging? That's what.
That's,
I
mean, true.
That's what, like, I thought. Like,
I feel like the implication is that she's involved with the Hand in some way, and if maybe not her, then the firm is. Maybe she may not even know it. But just like how Trish got pressure from upstairs to stop talking about the earthquake, the Hand's influence is very deep.
Yeah.
So if they can send a phone call immediately to get people to stop talking about the earthquake on the radio, you know, who knows what type of law implications they have. So she may have, someone may have said to Hogarth, hey, go put some pressure on Jessica or something, because she knows that there's already some type of a history there.
So pretty much it like also leads me to believe, like, who does the Hand have in their back pocket already?
You know? Yeah.
Who the can they trust? Yeah. Yeah. Like,
wait. Amy? It's like the Hand has their hand in everything.
Oh! It's going to be that kind of show, is it?
Is it?
I'm right
it
there
is.
With you.
I'm all
I
about
like
it.
I was waiting. I was waiting. But
here we go.
You got to give him time to cue it up.
Sorry. They might just come at random times.
Just wink before so he knows.
You can't cue up genius.
I'll work on my winking too. But yeah, I mean, I don't think, well, we can all agree, Hogarth is not one to be trusted.
No.
I don't know. I disagree. I like Hogarth. I trust her.
I think so.
You
I
trust
think
that's, her. I think she cut the wire thing in Jessica Jones with Kilgrave. Jessica couldn't, like, hit the button thing.
Oh, I'm not saying she's perfect, but, like, ultimately, like, as we've seen her in, through the end of Jessica Jones, and then, like, her with Danny in Iron Fist. I don't know. I think she's ultimately on the side of good. I think
her intentions are there.
That's what I think.
But
so too.
It's her perception of what to do about said intentions that are probably a little twisted. So. And also, you're dealing with Jessica Jones. So I can also kind of agree with that, is that you have to fight fire with fire. So you kind of have to have a little bite to you. But she's not my favorite character by any means. No, but I think her intentions are okay.
Right. We need to keep an eye on her.
Amy's going to be keeping an eye on Hogarth as we go forward.
She's watching Jessica. I'm watching her. That's right.
Speaking of people who can't be trusted, and let's go. We'll go back to, just because I want to talk about it. We'll go back to Luke Cage, and we'll go back to Matt. But people who can't be trusted. Let's talk about Alexandra, aka Sigourney Weaver, who ever since that was announced, that was like one of the craziest casting choices. Not in like a how could they do that, in like a you got Sigourney Weaver to be on the Defenders.
I'm so torn though, because she's so great. I mean, already so far. But, I mean, I guess we have to see more of the history that they're laying out for this canon. But it's like, should she be white?
Well, we don't know who she is yet.
Right, I know. That's why I'm reserving. Mm. But, like, all of a sudden now when... Or actually, you know what? Never mind. Is what I'll say. I was going to start talking about a different episode. So I'm going to wait for the next time.
Yeah, you forgot to hit stop on Netflix.
Uh-huh. I saw it's just in like the first few minutes of the third one, but we'll talk about it.
It's hard. Autoplay is really teasing when you have to be like, no, I can't watch 3 and 4 yet. We have to do an after show.
And it's just like, are you sure? Because it's coming up right now. Here it is. And I'm like, no,
stop.
What do you guys think? Like, so we know that she's sick, seemingly with, I guess, cancer.
He said, like, all your organs are failing.
So, I mean, she's got weeks to months.
Yeah.
It could have been metastasized. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be cancer. It could be an autoimmune, like, thing when your organs are shutting down and something
when
bigger.
When you're really, 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 really old and you're not supposed to live that long.
That they very much keeps, are like.
I mean, she made the reference.
First,
with the
it
music.
Was subtle, and then it was. She's like.
That was one of my
thoughts.
She's
like trying to
too.
Rub it in people's faces, like, I'm really old.
That was really one of my thoughts, too, when she was talking about the music. That was the first time I pinpointed it, was when she was talking to the lady about, like, Beethoven and mm-hmm. all the different artists and why they did it. And I was just like, oh, she sounds like she knew them personally.
Like she talked to them about it.
So I'm like, I wonder how long she's been around.
I know.
It's interesting.
I just, seeing her on screen, on Netflix, just so accessible to us, is just amazing. I can't even believe, like, I fangirl every single time she comes on the screen. I'm like, ah! Sigourney. So it's very exciting. I'm interested to see what she's gonna do, because I'm already on her side. I mean, like, no.
Wow, that was cool. That's
awesome. You're on her side.
Join the hand. Whoa. I would never. We have Sigourney Weaver. Okay.
Sign me up. I don't know. She doesn't trust. Who do I have to kill? She doesn't trust Hogarth. She trusts the clear villain. I don't know. I feel like
kind of a double agent.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say no.
She plays evil very well, though. I will say that. Does. Just so beautifully. Her interaction, like, I would trust her
with Madame Gao.
Oh my god!
It's the first time we've seen of Madame Gao already, and for her to be so subservient and like
we've never seen Madame Gao like behave like that.
Even when she was captured, she just didn't care. She's like, whatever.
When Madame Gao is like captured, she's just like, I got this.
Not worried at all. Good.
Well, I love the part where Madame Gao is like, it's a wall. And she's like, no, it's a freaking door. Open it. Like, okay.
Well, she makes a good point, though, because, you know, she's right. They would have destroyed it if they wanted to do that. If they wanted to protect it. So they just built something to protect it. But they wouldn't have protected it if they weren't planning on coming back later.
Yeah,
so it can't be an impenetrable wall. There's got to be a way to open it.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's pretty, like, her being very clear, like, there's one way to break through wall.
As soon as she said wall, I was like, okay, they're going to get Iron Fist to break the wall. Because, like,
yeah, well, it's like they have one thing that they've always they've been stubbornly proud of, and it's the Iron Fist.
Exactly.
So basically the only way to break down that wall is for Danny to punch it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, especially after watching the last series and them talking a lot about how strong the Iron Fist is too. Like it has to be that.
Well, it's their champion, and like all of this, I'm trying to figure out, like who she could be if she is somebody from that we would recognize from the comics. Mm. The name Alexandra doesn't mean anything. Like the only Alexandra that I could even find digging through Marvel like history is like a random Iron Man villain.
Well, I think we're gonna get a lot of different Hand stuff than what is traditionally canon, just because we're not getting any of the X-Men stuff, and a lot of the Hand lore is tied to Wolverine, to X-Men, to things of that nature, and it's very, very unlikely we're gonna see a lot of those characters.
Question is, could my the only person I could think of that she might be in the Marvel canon, and it's really just like, it's because we never confirmed that Madame Gao was the Crane Mother. Mm-hmm. It's just been heavily implied. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking that Alexandra is actually the Crane Mother, which for anyone who isn't familiar with that, the city of Kunlun is one of seven mystical cities, and the Crane Mother is basically in charge of one of those cities, and they have their own champion. At one point, it's Davos, who we met in Iron Fist. The symbol that's on Madame Gao's drugs is the symbol of the crane. So we know they're from that city. It's just a question of who is Crane Mother, who's running the place.
Right.
We've assumed it was Madame Gao up until this point, but Madame Gao is very clearly subservient to Alexandra. Mm-hmm. Could she be the woman? And she does dress in like a sort of
regal
Eastern style, but like it, obviously a very westernized version. I think because it's Sigourney Weaver, and you raised that point, like if she is the Crane Mother, that is taking an Asian like city,
right,
in essence, although it's a mystical city, so I don't even know where they are,
right, exactly. The and then also too with the implications of her being however old she is, also with her now being, you know, scared of this death or whatever that is approaching her, with her having to push her plans, you know, we've already had interactions with the Hand and knowing that they're not really scared of death. If you look at like Nobu, like you know he says there is no such thing as death. So whatever is killing her has got to be something serious. Maybe it's a factor of her being so old and living so long, or some type of infection or something. But it's got to be something that she can't just come back from, because she's clearly worried about it. It's not just a regular death that they can be like, okay, cool, we'll just bring you back in a few weeks.
I wonder if she like needs to get home or something. Like, she's been trapped on this plane.
That's a good point.
The Kunlun appears every 7 years, but other cities only appear, I think, every 50. So it would only be periodically that she would be able to get home. So that maybe my thought of what's behind the wall was that it's a back door to Kunlun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, they're clearly like Kunlun soldiers guarding it in that little dojo or sword making
shop.
Sword shop. Yep. Yeah. Sword shop dojo. It's a combination. It's a one stop shop for all your fighting
get
needs.
Get your swords, get your training. Get your dojo on.
That's a commercial for it.
At New York Joe's Sword Shop.
Perfect.
Well, let's get
Don't
back.
Don't ask me where that came from.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, let's talk about, and then we can use this and go back toward, back into Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. But I thought that the way that they ended up, like, we'd seen in the trailers that scene between Danny and them fighting. What did you guys think about how this all played out in terms of like the first meeting between what if for comic book readers is like one of like the oldest like just BFF partnerships?
Yeah, I thought it was greatly shot and edited. Because it's comical to see Danny just punching Luke and just like, and then the background a little bit, like behind Luke, was a little bit like when Matt hears, you know, something from afar. So it kind of blurred out a little bit. And I mean, Luke's reactions whenever people try to hurt him are just hilarious. Because it's like, what are you doing? So that was great. But then once Danny realized, wait. I've got the Iron Fist, like, then it was cool because it was a little bit of a throwback to the pilot of Luke Cage when the guy tries to hit him and then he breaks his hand. So we see the same shot, but this one actually knocks him out, which is great. But, yeah.
I thought it was Luke. Very comical, to be honest. I agree with you on that. The whole, like, hitting. I'm like, dude, you're a superhero. Come on.
I thought Luke's reactions were even better because he was... It wasn't just like a, oh, I'm trying to fight you. He was doing all the flashy.
Ironically, I think some of the best fighting moves we've seen from this iteration of Danny Rand.
Well, I mean, think about it. He's basically punching a dummy because he's just like standing there. There's not much like interaction choreography going on there.
It's still fun. It's fun to see him like, he's like, I got all these moves. And
I've been doing nothing. All this training.
But then his one punch sent him flying into the wall.
Yeah. Maybe he'll start to lead with that. I don't know.
Maybe use his powers for...
Well, I don't think... It's the kind of thing where you can't, like, use it constantly.
Yeah,
because
if he hit a regular person like that, their head would fly
That's the
off.
Other thing. Yeah, he would murder somebody. Yeah. and then he'd be whining for, like, 6 episodes about how he killed somebody.
Yeah, and feeling all guilty.
Get over it.
But what got Luke Cage there... it was again such a perfect follow up to what we saw, where we left him at the end of Luke Cage season 1. Him like in prison, but just like he's not even running the place. He's just like, whatever. I'm here doing my time. Clink.
These are yours.
Yeah,
I thought that was very admirable that he didn't do that earlier. I'm thinking you're actually letting yourself just sit there. And, like, you could get out of this place easily, but you're just sitting there and just buying your time.
I love Luke. Yeah, he's my second favorite defender.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about him getting some coffee?
Hey.
Finally got some coffee.
You did get some coffee.
Yeah.
I love how that was like the first thing out of jail.
That's
ready for your coffee
of course.
Now. I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah.
You've been in jail for how long? Of course, that's going to be the first thing. You want
guys
coffee.
Guys got to do what a guy's got to do.
Yeah.
And a girl.
I feel like he could have talked to Misty first.
Nah.
And got like the word out on
There's
the
no
neighborhood.
Time for that.
No.
And
Ain't
then later on met up. It's just like.
But Misty knew.
None of the other characters are going to get their introduction immediately right into sex. That's only going to happen with Luke Cage.
Which I'm not complaining about.
I know you're not complaining about.
Also, even
I'm just
from
saying,
Luke Cage
he has feelings too. Okay, he's not just
Rosario
a sex object.
Dawson is like right there. Like, hey, you want to go? You want to go get some coffee? What are you going to be like? No, I got to talk to this ex that I got about like some police stuff.
Yeah,
no,
right.
You go get
you're
coffee.
Right. Yeah, and he was in jail, so.
The most aggressive coffee I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jessica Jones coffee was pretty aggressive. This was just
I don't know.
Just
this almost.
Yeah. Like, they were like, like, where are we going?
Wasn't there like the walls were like getting cracked?
Well, yeah, it's Jessica Jones and him. I mean, this is a regular
human being
right now.
I'm just saying,
if
we're saying ever.
Look, Night Nurse is amazing. She's still human.
Didn't break the table, though. The table was intact.
I know.
Which is surprising.
Tipped over. Boo. Yeah.
Come on, like.
Let's be realistic
Break some stuff here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for when Luke Cage comes to get coffee.
Oh, man.
Anyways, going
props
on
to the
next
Foley team for that scene. Also.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, though. Like, I love Luke and Claire together. Mm. I think they're great. I am still, in my heart, I'm still Luke and Jess.
Yes. But in any good show, you're never going to have the characters that you want together, like, automatically. You have to have some, like...
This is for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
but
now,
it's like,
because
what
we know...
But only bad... But that means no something way. Bad has to happen to Claire.
No.
No, sometimes relationships just don't work out.
Well, yeah, when who said they're in a relationship?
Oh!
I'm just saying.
We went there this morning. This is true, though. It is.
Well, they at least have some kind of friendship. That's a relationship in a way. So there
you go. Claire also has a friendship with Matt, too.
Oh. But she's not getting coffee with Matt.
They also didn't go that far. They kissed, like, one time.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I'm out.
Nah, I'm going to go for Luke Cage instead.
This coffee's not dark enough for me.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
We make it fun here on the Defenders After Show.
Right. It was good to see Misty. Again.
Yeah.
Favorite characters, I think. She's just a very strong female cop. Mm. Nothing very tropey or like, you know, oh, here we go again. She's just she stands by what she stands by. And I like the way that she is navigating with Luke, especially now that he's like clear and he's like, I'm not hiding from the cops. I got nothing to hide from. You know, I can do whatever. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I can get you to kind of help around the neighborhood now because I don't have to worry about like, before it was like, well, you're kind of a wanted criminal and like, I'm a good cop and I don't want to like break the rules even though it's for the right reason. Now she doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah. Although she is like telling him to like go get in trouble, like can you go like root out some trouble? Like I know you got.
Well, she
this.
Wanted him to like talk to him, but it's like, well, what do you? When you say talk, what you know?
She
talk.
Want. I think she's pushing Luke to like open up a new Pops where like kids can go,
or at least just fill that void of like being a father figure around the neighborhood that's missing.
And that's like. That's what Luke Cage, like, I think at the heart of the character is. It's like a symbol for Harlem and a symbol for all these kids that are, like, are dealing with these issues and, like, have lost people. And it's like, no, you can be like Luke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to remember when we're talking about the urban black community, the lack of fathers is a serious issue. So having a positive black male figure who treats women with respect, who... is, you know, does respectable things, is very important. It's very important to have in the neighborhood as an example, but it's also really important to have on TV too. Just seeing Luke when he was talking about how he had like three jobs and seeing him sweep and stuff, and it's like, for one, this guy's a superhero. For two, like, you just don't see representations of black men in that way in TV very often. So to see it, it's great. It's just a really great character. And that's why later on in episode two, when we see him before he gets in the fight with Danny, because he's trying to, you know, he calls the cops and he says, you know, actually, never mind, I got to do something else, because he doesn't want that kid to get arrested because he knows what's going to happen. That's why I love this character. It's more than just the implications of, all right, we got to stop the bad guys. It's like, well, how's this going to affect the neighborhood? If this kid gets arrested, now this mother who has lost two other kids, the other one's now in jail. Mm-hmm. Now he's in the system. It's like this whole, like you said, symbol for Harlem. It's like a really, you know, warm thing that he's doing. It's just, he's just a really cool character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see him. So we're running a little low on time, so I want to make sure we get over to Matt. Candace got real excited.
Yes, I love him. He's amazing. I love this character so much. So I'll let you take it from there.
No, did you have a favorite part of like Matt's like story and like where we picked up with him?
To be honest, I love the beginning where he's working with that boy and his, you know, his speech to him, kind of going off of what you talked about with Luke Cage. I think, again, you don't really see a lot of characters that are going to address, you know, disabilities or anything of that nature. And him being very open and honest with that boy, that was like, you know, people are going to tell you that, you know, you just got to get over it. You got to move on, all this other stuff. And it's not going to get any easier. It's only going to get harder. It's just depending on how you choose to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very identifiable with his character. You know, he's overcome a lot. He's Daredevil. Come on. But just to see him have that connection, I really enjoyed.
Yeah. That quote he said, no one's going to give you your life back. You have to take it.
There you go. That's it.
Yes. That's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. He's speaking from a unique perspective, too, mm-hmm. where, like, if it was any other normal lawyer speaking to the kid, he would not hear it at all. But because mm-hmm. he's blind and was not born blind but went through the accident also, he actually can speak from that perspective of, like, everyone's going to try to help you. Everyone's going to say this, going to say that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to suck. It's going to get harder. But you can only rely on yourself.
Mm-hmm. He kept it real. For sure.
Can yeah. be real.
I love the moment like where he's prepping for the case, and it's like a classic like lawyer thing. Like if you watch Better Call Saul, like the lawyer prepping things, that could be its own show. Yeah. But then like he hears like the crime in the background.
Oh yeah.
And mm-hmm. he's almost tempted, and then he hears the cops like take care of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right.
That was a good one. Actually really cool.
Daredevil isn't needed. It's almost like Hell's Kitchen has gotten closer back to like what Hell's Kitchen really is now.
Right.
Like that was the thing they had to do with Daredevil season one. It's like Hell's Kitchen is like actually like a real nice area mm-hmm. in real New York now.
Yeah.
It's not a bad place, but they're just like, oh well, after the Avengers, it went back to being crime ridden and bad. But like now it's getting cleaned up and it's looking more like the real life Hell's Kitchen, and he's not needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
His neighborhood at least is clean.
And then we get the earthquake.
Yeah, and then the earthquake, and people are immediately going back to crime. He immediately, in a suit, is just flipping around and kicking
badass.
People's butts.
Badass.
But I think it's... that scene also was really cool because it was... he wasn't necessarily fighting with the good guys. Mm-hmm. He was, mm-hmm. like, protecting robbers from the people who they
protecting
robbed.
But he was protecting looters from getting killed.
Yes. So. Oh, and that's not yeah. wrong.
Right.
But it's like, which side was he supposed to be on? Was he right. supposed to stop them? Or right. like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like mm-hmm. It's a rough place that he finds himself.
I mean, yeah. I mean, comic book Daredevil in full suit would have incapacitated both parties.
Yeah.
Would have went after the kids and terrified them into never looting again.
Just stands over them. What are you thinking? You can't afford that. That's a saying. It's his new catchphrase.
That's it,
you
yeah.
can't afford that.
The story of my life.
What do you
yeah.
guys like?
Yeah.
Speaking of pairing, so because we were talking about like Luke and Claire and all that, Matt and Karen.
Mm. No, it was sweet a while ago, but
we
no.
were both like,
no.
I like
no.
it. I what? Like it, especially because she knows now. About him.
I'm all about Caredevil.
Aww.
I think they make a cute couple.
I kind of like that.
That's been on the Daredevil after show. It was season one especially. It was like, are you Caredevil or Claredevil? Gotta pick a side. But now Claredevil's like way out the
yeah.
window.
Yeah. Yeah. Shows that's correctly. Just not gonna happen. but I miss Foggy. Foggy. But it's cool because Foggy actually ended up taking Matt in a way, to Jessica, and mm-hmm. that's how they get together. Because Foggy knows that Matt just doesn't want to do this anymore. He doesn't want to be Daredevil, do all those things. And he knows that the only way to do so is by giving him, like, busy work, but...
I think he thinks that Matt doesn't want to do it anymore. And I think Matt thinks that he doesn't want to do it anymore, but he really does want to do it.
I think they're treating it sort of like an addiction thing.
Yeah.
The way that he's like, Foggy's like Horse Service sponsor. He's like, I know you're tempted to go back. Yeah. I see that you slipped.
Right.
But like, it's okay. It's okay you. To slip. I'm not judging. Like, but here's a way that you cannot slip again.
Right.
Go help somebody who can also do crazy things, because that won't at all lead to you putting your red suit back on.
And it's like also like with everybody knows who she is now, right? Yeah. So it's like of all of the people to take that case, you're trying to avoid being a superhero. You're going to go represent a superhero.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cool with it.
That's how they have to be.
I'm cool with it. I'm happy. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I love them meeting. It's like, hi. I'm Matt Murdock. I'm your lawyer. Ah, yes, you are.
And that, that was a moment right out of the comics. Mm-hmm. Like the first in one of Jessica Jones' first comics. Like I think it's really early on. It's like in the first five issues where she gets like brought in. Mm-hmm. Similar thing where like she wasn't like being arrested. She was just a part of an investigation, and it wasn't Misty Knight. It was like a random cop, but. She's just there, and then Matt Murdock, he, like, walks in, like, don't say anything. I'm Matthew Murdock, your attorney. Exact same scenario. I'm sure that it was very intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go look at the panels, which I did, it's like, it feels like they just, like, copy and pasted into their, shot list. But it's great because, like, even though in this case she doesn't necessarily know who he is, because in the comics universe, she and Luke end up being, like, bodyguards for Matt Murdock at a certain point, because they could both he doesn't need bodyguards, but like they're just good to have on hand.
Well, I love watching, I mean, in previous seasons, you know, leading up to the Defenders, men and women working together. So Matt and Elektra working together, and Luke and Jessica working together. It's just like, yeah.
I think that for me, that's always been the most, like I said at the beginning of the show, like my favorite like characters to read were Hank and Janet. Like, and not one of them either, but like the two of them together, like a superhero couple, is like a really cool thing and a really interesting dynamic to see pushed forward. And I think that every one of them, except Jessica, is right now, like, she's just like,
I think she's getting there.
She's like just, her and Trish, like
she's
best
just a
friends,
complex
but like,
character. So she has a lot of growing to do before she can actually be in a healthy relationship.
Yeah. But either way, it makes everyone's dynamic push forward in an interesting way. And I'm excited to see what happens with Karen and Matt, and then obviously that's what happens when we finally get a team together, which we're finally getting closer to, because Danny and Luke are together, and now Matt and Jessica are together. Now we just got to get those two to like meet up, hopefully soon, because then they can all kick butt together and go fight Sigourney Weaver.
I love her so much.
I am so excited.
So, are there any other moments that you guys just like that stood out that you loved from these episodes? Before we get into some predictions, because we haven't been predicting at all
through the whole show,
But like, are there any moments? Because it's tough to in two episodes in 1 hour to just talk about everything. Mm-hmm. And chat. Let us know if there's any favorite moments that you had. And thank you to everyone who is joining us live. Any favorite parts of these two episodes?
I really liked Matt's scene in the confessional with the priest.
Yes, and him talking about Elektra and being pulled back towards her.
Can I just be frank? Can we talk about the real issue here? I just love the dynamic between them, and I think you tweeted it about how you like seeing his Catholic confliction and stuff that he deals with, and it's such
I mean, I do. I don't remember tweeting that recently, but
somebody did. Somebody did, and it reminded me that like it's very core to the Daredevil character, and they have portrayed it like just perfectly. I think between him being a lawyer, which is already morally conflicting enough, and then also being a vigilante and being stuck in the middle, like he just plays it so well.
Jarvis Brown says Turk. Because Turk showing up. Turk has to show up. He's our standard villain. Our standard, not villain, but he's our standard, like, crook.
Yeah.
Just doing exactly what he does in the comics. Just there to be, like, beat up.
Yeah.
For being involved in crimes.
Oh, yeah, and Stick. Cam Boyd. Yeah, Stick. I forgot about Stick. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Alexandra putting a like paper bag over his head, even though he's blind.
Yeah, well, it would cover his hearing too. Yeah, I almost skipped over that moment.
It was so short. It was so short.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of funny because it's like, ooh, but look, he's now he can't see. What do you know?
He's like, it's the same thing with Matt. Like you wouldn't just. I mean, I guess I don't know. I don't. I feel like it's like a
that they know. I think they know who they're dealing with.
Yeah, they know he's blind. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like they've got like heightened hearing too and other senses. Yeah. So those are all being dampened by the bag.
They could have put like headphones on him.
Yeah, just maybe I don't know because it's silly, and so maybe that's why Alexandra did it too because she's the boss. I don't know. But that
it could
was
also have been
maybe
they just a lackey who like too, it was just like yeah. they put a bag on his head to like put a bag because like that's standard procedure.
Yeah, and everyone may not know that Stig is blind. It may not be like.
I think if you look at him, you could probably tell.
Because of his eye.
I mean, yeah. Until he whoops your ass, and then you're like, are you blind?
This is crazy. How'd you do that? Yeah, that was just weird.
Yeah. I hate you for pointing that out. Now I'm going to be welcome. Thinking about that forever.
That's what I'm
hearing. He's blind back.
Yeah. Some other moments. And in the chat says, Jessica Jones and Missy Knight scenes were great. That was great to see them together and like the play there.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to see, especially with Missy Knight, to like see like how the dynamics are going to play out. Like, looking at Missy Knight, I'm like, Missy Knight's awesome. There's no way that she and Danny are going to get together.
Yeah.
Which is a pairing in the comics.
No. Oh.
Like, they're in a long term relationship in the books. But I'm like, versions of the characters.
Nope. No.
Nope.
Don't see it.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to team up with Colleen either.
I don't know. That I could actually see. Again, like, I could see the four of them forming Heroes for Hire. Like, absolutely. I think that that was my prediction from Luke Cage, is that, like, Pop's Barbershop is just going to become the Heroes for Hire, like, offices with the four of them hanging out.
With Colleen, Danny, Misty, and Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heroes for Hire on the old Pop's sign. Anyway, other moments. If you don't, we can just move right into some predictions.
Yeah, let's do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so there's so many things going on. What are you guys thinking as we move forward? What do you think we're going to see? And we haven't seen them. No spoilers.
Please, something with Alexandra. Definitely going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a solid prediction.
Yeah. Yeah. She is not good. I know that. I don't know. I think her role is like the biggest out of all of them, because she's up here and like handling everything.
Hey.
No, you're done.
I'm not
cool with
that one. No, that was just low effort.
No,
handling is not a.
I wasn't even trying. See, it just came to me. It really did. But handling one. But yeah, there's something going on there, and I think we're definitely going to see all of them come together in this episode 3,
yes,
coming up. And I think that the sassiness between Jessica and, like, Luke with Danny is going to be really fun to see.
I have an old favorite prediction that I'm still holding on to, even though it's so insane, but I want to get to you guys first, and then I'm gonna throw it out.
I think we've kind of covered a lot of them throughout the whole show, so my only thing is, like, I'm just excited to go and, like, watch episode 3 to actually see how all four of them come together, mm-hmm, and, like, seeing that dynamic, because I've watched enough of the trailers from them all four together that I'm just excited to see how it ends up coming.
Nate, any last predictions?
Yeah, I mean, not predictions, I'm just excited. Cool. I'm excited for the Punisher cameo too. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later.
There is a trailer that just came out with the series yesterday, which we can talk about. Maybe we'll talk about it in the last, in our finale episode.
Yeah.
All right. Big prediction that you've heard me say before if you listen to other after shows that's absolutely bonkers, and I still stand by it. Sigourney Weaver was at the bottom of, now I'm adding to it, Sigourney Weaver was what was at the bottom of that giant hole, and secretly, she's Fin Fang Foom. The giant dragon.
I hate you. That's...
Sigourney Weaver is Fin Fang Foom.
I want my 30 seconds back.
You heard it here first, and also on other podcasts, because I've stood by this ridiculous
theory.
If that's
true, I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore if they go that direction.
That'd be fun to see.
All right, guys. Well, we are going to go into the other room right now. We're going to go watch episodes 3 and 4. So if you are joining us live, go watch 3 and 4. And we're going to be right back in the studio afterwards to talk about those two episodes. I'm real excited. And then we're also going to be back tomorrow in the studio at 6 p.m. to talk about episodes 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And then at 10 p.m. to talk about episodes 7 and 8. We're binging it this weekend. Woo! It's an after-show binge-a-thon.
That's how we
roll. So you can get the whole series as quick as possible. Thank you to those of you who are joining us. Seriously. We love it. Go on to, even though the show's going to wrap up quickly, make sure you go on to iTunes, hit us with a review and a rating, let us know what you thought of it. That it helps people, other people find the show. It helps iTunes know that they should put us like high up there. I know some of the other like Netflix after shows have been like high up there. I want this one to be the biggest one because it's the craziest one with all four heroes. So go on there, let us know what you think, and be sure to tweet us your theories as you go. No spoilers until we're done with the series. So I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at that Zach Wilson, thatzachwilson. Amy, where can everyone find you?
That was amazing.
So intense.
Yeah. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV. I'm not gonna spell all that, but also AmyCassandra.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at Instagram at DogLikeNate. That's dog with two G's.
And I'm Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
All right, guys. This has been the Defenders After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.